Thank you, Johanna. We're reading from Psalm 118. I have to say I'm a little thrown off today. And for those who are online, you may not know, it's like your typical church worship where people usually, you know, there's some that are close and there's some that are further back. And today a group, a crowd of people have gathered closer. And so it's great. It's just, you know, you get used to it, but it's wonderful. I've never seen that in the church. That could be a whole miracle sermon in itself. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. If you have ever been browsing on social media, you may have come across a quiz entitled, "Find out what character you are from this book or from that movie." And after you answer the questions, which are typically related to whatever book or movie that is, it tells you what character you are most like. It doesn't take very long, and it's entertaining to find out who you are. My list over time includes the following: The Chronicles of Narnia, Peter Pevensey; from Lord of the Rings, Samwise Gamgee; Harry Potter, I am like Molly Weasley. Oh, she's a good character. And in Star Wars, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Now, I am not any of those characters, right? Because they don't exist. But it does put me in the story, and it makes me think I could be the best of that character in my own life. As with any story, Scripture, too, invites us to imagine who we are in the narrative. But if taking these quizzes have taught me anything, it's that we long to see ourselves as the hero figure, and we'll keep taking the test until we get it. We immediately embody Jesus. Yes, we are the ones feeding the poor. Yes, we are the ones advocating for justice. Yes, we are the faithful ones to God, even when it's risky. And then we wag our fingers at Peter, who denied him. We vilify Judas for selling out the kingdom of God for gold. And like a schoolyard bully, we even make up a nickname to call Thomas. Surely that's not who we are like. We are the heroes. We are with Jesus. We follow Jesus as he moves. You may not realize it, but this Sunday is the one time of the year where we as a congregation embody one character together. The crowd, waving palms, shouting Hosanna. But is that really who we are? Or is this another instance where we take on that hero status with very little thought? What do we really know about that crowd? What do we really know about what was going on in Jerusalem or who was involved in this scene? And if we did, would we be the ones holding and waving palms? Matthew describes that the entire city of Jerusalem is in turmoil. People are in a frenzy and there is chaos in the streets. And while traditionally we explain this is because Jesus is now here, that probably wasn't as likely. Because the Jewish celebration of Passover was just days away. Passover is a pilgrimage festival where people traveled all over to get to Jerusalem. The city practically doubled overnight. And if you have friends or family that live in New York City, ask them what it's like to be in the city for New Year's Eve. Traffic, hotels, restaurants, and a lack of bathrooms in Times Square. But that is not the only cause for turmoil. Pilgrims are not the only ones coming into the city. But the Roman Empire is reinforcing the town with a show of force by stationing heavily armed soldiers, war horses, and war chariots. It was common that throughout the Roman Empire, to keep its conquered subjects in line when there was mass gatherings, that they would reinforce that city. And we could assume that the Jewish celebration of Passover, a festival commemorating the event when God used God's power to save the people from an oppressive empire, that may have made Rome just a little bit nervous. And the show of force may have been because they feared what would happen when people got together and talked about liberation. So they were on alert for revolts, for treasonous activities, two things Rome had no patience or mercy for. They were quick to punish violators, often hanging them on crosses just outside town as a deterrent. More soldiers, more weapons, more spies, more show of force did not quell the turmoil in the streets. It added to it. Rome was in power, and at its head, the Son of God, Caesar. However, on the other side of town is a different kind of parade. Very different. And you could say that this parade has been moving steadily for 30 years, beginning in a humble manger in Bethlehem of Judea. And along its 30-year route, it has picked up more and more people, unlikely people that were on the fringes of society in first century Palestine. Fishermen, tax collectors, those who were sick, those who had mental health challenges, those who were foreigners or low income, really anyone that did not have a place had a place in this parade. They rejoiced and they celebrated the kingdom of God and witness the power of God through Jesus, a power of love and grace and compassion. In fact, just before entering Jerusalem in this morning's story, we see that Jesus chooses not to ignore two blind men on the side of the road. Scripture says that Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately they could see. And then they join the crowd. Those that carried palms were people that knew the power of God was unlike any other power in the world. They knew this power was the only power that could truly save them. And many of them remembered the line from Zechariah, and we remember that and retell it each year. Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and a colt. And if you continue to read that in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it goes on to say, this Messiah, this liberator is coming to cut off the chariots from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to all the nations. What made this parade different was that it was gentle, nonviolent, just, and liberating. Perhaps the very thing Rome feared most. Two parades into Jerusalem, two opposing understandings of power, two sons of God. As we too know, in this country, when pent-up frustration and struggle and, yes, turmoil come to a head, we witness these two kingdoms form and collide. And for us, the question is, which parade will you walk with? We may see it in our own personal lives when things get difficult and challenging, when we receive a bad diagnosis, when we are overworked or exhausted, when a relationship is strained, when the headlines and the news overwhelm us to despair. I think we carry more than we realize, that those moments weigh on us. And if we don't tend to those, to what is going up, that going within us, that pent-up frustration or struggle, we may soon realize that we may be in a different crowd. We do not build up relationships or speak with compassion with others, but instead we arm ourselves for battle. We take out our fear, our worries, our uncertainty, and we take it out on those who are closest to us or those that we can get away with it. We could blame or exclude others. And just like that, we find ourselves following Pilate instead of Jesus. But what would it look like if instead of taking out our frustration and struggles on others, that we invited others to help us carry that? What if we did not pass on our pain to others? And the crowd that is waving the palms, we know that they have grown together in community that supports each other, that they remind each other who God is and how they have been healed, how God is still with them. And we may even call them the beloved community. And instead of transferring their pain into the world, they tend to it. And they allow God in to heal it. Hosanna in the highest, meaning God saves. The ways of God will save us. This is different from Pilate. Silencing voices will save us. Excluding others will save us. Violence will save us. War. And in any given moment, we could ask ourselves, which parade am I walking in? We all heard the news this week, horrible news, that there was yet again another mass shooting. And let me start by saying we are 92 days into 2023. 92 days. And there have been reported 130 mass shootings. Turmoil. In the K-12 database, there have been a recorded 89 gun-related incidents at schools so far, nearly one for every day. 18 people fatally shot and 56 more injured. There is turmoil in our schools. And then we learned about Nashville, where six were killed, three adults and three children. Evelyn Diakis, Mike Hill, Haley Scruggs, Catherine Kuntz, and Cynthia Peak. We can see the two parades on both sides, can't we? The one side focused on maintaining and keeping power and authority and their NRA rating. They wear pins of support, not for children, but for AR-15s. We can hear the shouts loud and clear, more guns will save us, but there is another way. Community gathers to listen to the heartbroken family members at candlelight vigils. People pause and think, what if this was my child? And people are beginning to use their voice to break the war bow in half. Jesus is the way and truth precisely because he refuses to use power to destroy, exploit, or exclude. And we know what this week holds for Jesus. He will be arrested for treason, sentenced to death by the state. The cross represents the worst of humanity and what humanity can do. And even on the cross, Jesus holds on to love. Father, forgive them. Forgive those who persecute me. Forgive those that think this power will save them. For they do not know what they do. And so Jesus enters Jerusalem as a humble and gentle king, not riding a war horse, but a donkey. not adorned with banners or military regalia, but palms, not parading the spoils of war, but crowds of people who have been transformed by the good news. For one kingdom, this is a charge for treason and will lead to death. However, there is a crowd there that is joining with the psalmist of 118 saying, "We thank you because you answered us, because you were our saving help. Your faithful love lasts forever and ever." And so we raise our palms as the beloved community, committed to the ways revealed through Jesus, committed to justice, knowing that it is God from whom all blessings flow. We raise our palms as people doing the best they can to live the ways of love, even in turmoil or frustration. And we raise the palms in faith that it is only God who can save us, and only God that can give us new life. And so as the crowd, I invite us to sing our following hymn together, "All Glory, Loud, and Honor." Amen. Amen.